It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Oh, and welcome to Super Scoreboard Sunday, where you can have your say on the weekend's action for the next 3 hours. The second half is just about to get underway between Livingston and Rangers, with Russell Martin's side holding a 1-0 lead thanks to a James Tavernier goal. That's after Celtic dropped to second after a goalless draw with Hibs yesterday. Hearts move above them after a convincing win over Falkirk. There are also wins for St Mirren, Motherwell and Kilmarnock, with Aberdeen still rooted to the bottom of the table. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Ross McLean, Cormac and Gordon DL.
Yeah, after an exciting weekend yesterday, Andrew, obviously Celtic dropping points at home to Hibs, and Aberdeen bang in trouble. Still not a goal, still not a win to be seen, but all eyes are focused on Livingston Rangers today. After what I call a slow start from Rangers, they started to get a grip of the game. Tavernier scores a terrific overhead kick and then misses a penalty, which you don't usually see. Probably would have, for me, put the game to bed. 1-0 at half-time. Rangers can be pleased with the first-half performance, but they have to keep up here because Livingston are always a danger.
Yeah, the game's certainly not over by any means, Ross, because Livingston have got forward. They have created chances as well.
Yeah, listen, as long as it stays 1-0, they're going to have a chance, aren't they? That will be the message in the change room. Just stay in it, keep it to 1-0 as long as you can, and then, you know, if you're in the last 10 minutes, 1-0, then you can throw caution to the wind and look to get an equaliser. But at this moment in time, Rangers don't look in much danger for me.
Well, lots to get our teeth into across the weekend. As we mentioned, still 45 minutes to go between Livingston and Rangers. So maybe you want to talk to us about that game as it goes on. Maybe you want to wait until full time and speak to us about the result. 0141 951 1025. We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Maybe you want to look back on yesterday's action because so much happened across the Scottish Premiership. Celtic nil, Hibs nil. Celtic fans, what did you make of the performance? Were you maybe not too disheartened by the performance, but maybe a bit disheartened with the result? What stood out to you in that match? How are you feeling going forward, especially after Hearts leapfrogged Celtic as well with that 3-0 win over Falkirk? What a goal it was by Kizaridis. Hearts fans, could you potentially, do you feel like you're in a title race now, despite the fact that it is still very early in the campaign? 0141 951 1025. What about that result in the late game last night as well? Motherwell 2, Aberdeen 0. Great for Jens Bertolascu to get his first league win. Kind of felt like that was coming, the way that Motherwell were playing. But another bad, bad result for Jimmy Tilleen.
Oh, terrible. Absolutely terrible. I know that they can take a little bit of confidence. I think the performance is a lot better, Andrew. But it's not about performances just now. It's about putting points on the table. They're sitting there, they've not even scored a goal after six games. Motherwell knocked them out of the cup in their home patch last week. So all of a sudden, as much as the manager's looking at some positives to take, it's very grim reading for Aberdeen fans this morning. So it'll be interesting to see where this week comes for Aberdeen and going forward.
Yeah, get your calls in right now. 0141 951 1025. Whatever is on your mind, whether it is the ongoing game between Livingston and Rangers, as we mentioned, it is currently 1-0 to Rangers in that game, or if it's yesterday's action, it's the same number. 0141 951 1025. Just a break in play at the moment. It was a pretty heavy collision, that, between Daniel Finlayson and Jaden Magoma, wasn't it, who's down getting treatment. But just going back to the first half, giving it a bit of a recap, James Tavernier with the goal. Before that, the game looked pretty even. It was end-to-end up until that point.
I think, I said earlier, I thought watching the game coming in, Livingston got off to a good start. Had a good chance down the right-hand side. Stevie May got in behind the Rangers defence. A good goalkeeping by Jack Butland. Narrowed angle and made sure that Livingston didn't go off to the perfect start. Rangers grew into the game, started dominating the ball, probably more in the middle of the park as well. Tavernier gets a goal, and then they get a great opportunity for me to go two up getting in at half time. I don't see Livingston come back from that, but Tavernier, unlike him, misses a penalty, good save, and all of a sudden it's still game on.
Yeah, that penalty given for a shirt pull by Stevie May on Nico Raskin. It was a corner. It was Stevie May that ended up clearing the corner with a header after Nico Raskin had gone to ground. It went to VAR. It was given. Was it a penalty for you, Ross?
I think it was soft, Andrew, to be honest. I think, listen, there's clearly a pull in the shirt there, but I think Raskin's been clever. I don't know exactly what the rule is, but I always thought that the shit pool has to last a little bit longer than that. I think Raskin's been clever, and what the defender does is he gives the referee a decision to make, and you're always in trouble in this day and age with VAR if you want to do something silly like that. But, you know, for me, I think justice was done. Tav misses a penalty, which is unlike him. He's usually Mr. Reliable.
I sort of agree with you in the penalty kick situation. One, Stevie May shouldn't be giving the referee that decision to go over tomorrow and have a look. But I think Tavernier uses a little bit of experience. He feels the tug on the shirt. He goes down. He gives the referee a decision to make. John Beaton decides that there's enough in it for a penalty kick. But I'm with Roscoe. I thought a little bit of justice, Tavernier missing it, keeps Livingston in this game.
I think the fact that it was actually Stevie May who then gets his head on it to clear it probably plays a big part in it. If it wasn't him and, you know, them two weren't in the vicinity, I don't think it'd be given.
Yeah, those are one of the things that referees will look at, essentially, if the player that has been impeded, if they were potentially going to be able to get to the ball, because Stevie May was the one that got there. Nico Raskin would have been there or thereabouts as well. That will have been something they looked at, but also whether the shot pull was enough for him to go to ground.
See, with Stevie May there as well, Andrew, you know, Raskin is, you know, he's renowned now for making that run across the front. See, if he just stands and opens his body up and he can see the taker and Raskin, that pull doesn't happen. Raskin's got nowhere to run to, he just blocks him. So probably body position should have been opened up a little bit, and when it's not, then he gets himself in bothering and you see what happens.
It's one of these games that if Rangers get the next goal early, I think it will end up comfortable for them. But the longer it goes at 1-0, there's always a little bit of nerves creeping.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. As I mentioned, whatever it is that you want to talk about, we can go back to yesterday's action. We will go through all the games and look through the key talking points of each of those. Some big results in there. Celtic dropping points at home to Hibs. Hearts now top of the table after a 3-0 win over Falkirk. Motherwell 2-0 winners over Aberdeen. It was a 2-0 win for Kilmarnock away to Dundee United, which was predicted by you on yesterday's show, Gordon.
Yeah,
Dale.
That was my nap. I'm giving a nap at every Saturday now, so everybody listen in for it, because you seen it yesterday, Kilmarnock. People mocked me with the decision. 2-0, well done, Kilmarnock.
Can I just ask you something? What's a nap?
Asleep. No, a nap's your favourite bet of the day. Not right, a bet, okay. Bet responsibly, but your favourite prediction, your top one, the one that people sit up and take notice of, right, Kilmarnock, okay. Yesterday.
Did you get any of the other ones right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Apart, the only one I didn't get right was Celtic. I fancy Celtic to win at home.
Is that a penalty?
That's soft, never a penalty.
Yeah, the ball was played over the top. Stevie May went down. I think potentially the offside flag had gone up in that one. Yeah, it had done. The offside flag went up, so even if it was deemed to have been a foul, it wouldn't have led to a penalty. It was John Souter with a bit of a shoulder into Stevie May, would you say?
Stevie May was just desperate for the contact. He loves contact, doesn't he? Just loves bouncing into people and jumping around. No penalty.
There was also, Rangers had the ball in the back of the net just before half-time for a second time as well. It was Derek Cornelius that scored, but after a VAR review was shown that the ball had bounced up and hit him on the arm. It's one of those, if you are the goal scorer, no matter, you know, where or how it hits you on the arm, whether it would be given as a handball in any other instance, doesn't matter. If it does hit the arm of the goal scorer, then the goal is ruled out. So it was,
yeah, unfortunate for the defender. It'd have been his first goal in a Rangers trip. But I think that, as much as we're debating the penalty kick for Rangers, I think that decision was the correct decision.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Interested to hear what you're making of this performance so far, Rangers fans. Is it giving you any more encouragement? Because I know there is, of course, a lot of unrest out there, a lot of anger directed towards Russell Martin. Would a win today change that at all? 0141 951 1025. And Celtic 0, Hibs 0. That was a big one yesterday. Want to hear any thoughts on that? Interesting to see Hearts going top of the table. I know Tony Bloom was very bullish in his quotes at the start of the season, saying that they wanted to be up there challenging. Still very early days. We saw what happened to Aberdeen last season, but it's good sort of early evidence for Hearts that things are moving in the right direction.
I think it's great for Scottish football, Andrew. You can't just have the same scenario year in, year out. Celtic will finish first, Rangers second, or if Rangers can win the league, Celtic will finish second. It was always a gimme. It's great to see a team up there. I totally agree with you. We were discussing it yesterday in the programme. Let's not get carried away here, because Aberdeen, everybody last year, and it was well into October, Aberdeen were still in there and looking really, really good, and all of a sudden the wheels come off. I just think this Hearts team is tailor-made for a good season. They're strong, they're out. Obviously, a disappointing bit was out of the Premier Sports Cup early. They've no Europe to worry about as well. He's got a good squad there. They've invested heavily as well. And they've got off to a great, great start, but still a long, long way to go.
What about the opening goal yesterday as well?
Kezaridis
cuts inside.
Unbelievable.
Honestly, it's my goal of the season so far, to be honest with you. Loved it. But no, I think Gordon's right. I think Hearts are different to Aberdeen this year. I think their manager as well is... I think when they went and got Derek McInnes, brought him in, I think that was a statement in itself. And the way they've started this season, look at the squad, the players who aren't playing, who can come in and make a difference as well. Shanklin's back in the goals, which is huge. So I think they're set up to do really well.
Well, that is a taster of what the guys made of yesterday's action and what's going on between Livingston and Rangers. 53 minutes on the clock. Any thoughts on any of that? 01419511025. There's not been too much in the way of chances so far in this second half.
No, but I think Livingston look a bit more livelier in the second half, and I think that's down to the fact that, as I said, if the goals that like say Tavernier puts the penalty away, I don't think they're coming out of a spring their step. I think David Martindale's half-time team talk was, listen, we're lucky to just be one down here. This game could be away from us. Let's go out here and put a real good effort in, put a bit of pressure on Rangers. And I think they're starting to do that, but the second goal would just kill it for them. We also touched on, you know, how Rangers started dominating the game. A massive chance for Majovski in the first half, Andrew. We missed that. And
the kind of chance that you'd expect Bojan Majovski, certainly the Bojan Majovski that spent a couple of seasons at Aberdeen would have put away.
All day long. It was an absolute sitter. It was a sore one for him. He got off to a good start against Hibs. He got his first goal at Ibrox. It's brilliant for any striker. Ross will tell you that. But when you get chances like that, you've got to put them away.
Yeah, potential chance for Livingston here. Cross into the box from the right-hand side, just over hit and goes out for a throw-in on the far side. When you look at Livingston as well, they are a completely different prospect from what they were last time they were in the Premiership. I was listening to David Martindale before the game today, and they were saying that they were wanting to come out, they want to play football, they want to try and take the game to Rangers. He said if it was at Ibrox, they maybe would set up a bit differently. But the work they've done over the last 18 months to kind of transform their style of play has been quite evident today as well, and it's certainly worked at times.
It's been evident, yes. I think what probably goes against them is the fact that the pitch is a lot better this season. So whereas in the last few years you had Celtic, Rangers and the sort of bigger clubs, no disrespect to Livingston, who absolutely hated going to Livingston to play on that pitch, but this pitch looks okay. You can get the ball down, it zips around well, no bad bounces, but no, you got to take your hat off to Davy Martindale. I must admit, I thought they would struggle this season, to be honest with you.
Do you still think they're struggling?
I do, but I think there's probably more teams in the mix than I thought would be. I didn't expect Falkirk to struggle, but I expect them to be down there as well this season. But as on the game today, as you're saying, it's 1-0. Their team talk at half-time, as I said earlier, would have been to stay in the game as long as possible. So I think they'll be happy with this start to the second half.
I did like, we'll stick with this actually, because there's a chance for Rangers potentially. JD Gassama down the left-hand side is trying to create something. James Tavernier, who just seems to be absolutely everywhere on the pitch, he's popping up at left wing there. He was in the 6-yard box when he scored his goal. He seems to just be trying to drive the team forward from anywhere he can.
Try to lead by example, isn't he? And he's certainly done that when he got off to a good start with the first goal. He's got to be disappointed with his penalty. I was very surprised. He went down the middle, made it quite easy for a goalkeeper to get his foot to it or his leg to it. Usually Tavernier's very precise. He'll go for a corner and he usually puts it in there with confidence. But he's trying to lead by example. He's all over the park. And I think that, as I say, it's a big, big afternoon for Rangers. They cannot afford to drop any more points here. I know we're only, what, 6 games in. We're still in September, but you cannot be sitting down second bottom this league.
I'm wondering if the way Tavernier's playing today, do you think that's by design? Do you think that's manager's instructions? Because we heard when Russell Martin came into the club that we're going to play with these inverted fullbacks. Haven't really seen much of it this season, but today it looks a lot more like the way a Russell Martin, you know, fullback would like to play. He's everywhere. He's coming inside a little bit, probably like the way you've probably seen Greg Taylor play over the last couple of years at Celtic. That's Tavernier today. So I just wonder if that's by design.
Well, he has just whipped in a deep free kick, which has been punched away by Prior, and the Livy goal should be catching that, surely.
I could
tell by the noise you made that that's exactly what you're thinking.
I want a meeting with goalkeeping coaches, because I think they've forgot the knack of goalkeeping is catch the ball. You've got two big gloves there. Just catch it. Okay, there's times when it's coming and goalkeeping coaches will tell you, oh, the ball's moving and it's swerving. I've got all that, but not when it's coming out the air. You're 6 foot plus and you can go up and catch it. It's basic stuff that takes the pressure off your defenders.
What was your reaction to Mitov last night then?
Oh, no, it was ridiculous. I kept looking at it thinking, did it get such a big deflection?
It's that way that you're watching so many replays just to see where the nick was. Surely it must have taken a deflection that he was so wrong-footed, and it just didn't. But maybe that's just a sign of things for Aberdeen, that just everything seems to be going wrong. Dimitar Mitov has been one of their most consistent performers, and even he's making mistakes.
Well, I said in the programme yesterday, another big call, unfortunately I got it wrong. I said that Aberdeen and Motherwell would be a draw, because I thought Aberdeen would come up down, set up differently away from home. Try to get a base to start from. A point would probably be okay if they could get three in the counter-attack. Fine, Motherwell playing some good football. And they got to the 90th minute and you're thinking, right, job done. And you can take a bit of confidence away if you're an Aberdeen supporter, because they done okay. They were a lot better than where they were at Tannadice and last week at Pittodrie. And you're thinking, right, good building bit to start from. And then all of a sudden the roof caves in, two goals.
You're Jimmy Tilleen standing in the sideline, you're looking at it going, my time's up here, isn't it? Everything's going wrong.
Yeah, Aberdeen then go into European action this week as well. Is that the last thing that Jimmy Tilleen will want? Shakhtar Donetsk coming to town when you can't buy a win or even a goal in domestic games?
Yeah, you just wonder, but you're thinking, right, okay, is it better try to get some games and try to build a bit of confidence? You're quite rightly saying, Andrew, as long as it goes here, you're looking at six games. Aberdeen have not scored one goal and not won one game. When was the last time that happened for them, you know? So, in fact, when was the last time that happened for any team? It's an incredible start, especially after the start he had last year. It's completely flipped itself in the head.
Yeah, I think in the Premiership era, the worst a team had done in terms of not scoring goals for the first few matches, St Mirren went on a run of four. Mm-hmm. Aberdeen are now six without a goal in their opening.
So nobody's achieved six apart from Aberdeen?
Not in the sort of modern Premiership era. And I think the last time Aberdeen did it was potentially, was it 26 years ago?
Do you know what the surprising thing about this is, right? You could maybe look at a team and think, right, look, they've not got off to a good start, they're not got the best squad, they've had a few injuries. Aberdeen have got a real strong squad. They've got guys that can score you goals. They've got international footballers. They've got probably a hefty wage bill that they're paying their players. I just don't know what's happening.
Well, let's hear from you. 01419511025, 61 minutes on the clock between Livingston and Rangers. That James Tavernier goal is the difference between the teams. Maybe you want to talk about that game as it goes on. Give us a call, 01419511025. Or if you want to talk about yesterday's action, 01419511025.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Ross McCormick here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and we are here all the way through until 7 o'clock. So get your calls in, 01419511025. 65 minutes gone between Livingston and Rangers. James Tavernier with the only goal in that game. Livingston have been pushing forward a wee bit more in the last few minutes.
Yeah, better. As I said, I think they're getting at half-time. They realised that the game could be away from them. They've come out, they've got a... You know, they're on the front foot. They're created a wee chance here. Stevie May coming in from the right-hand side. I think he picks the wrong option. He tries to give Jack Butland, as we call it in the game, the eyes. He should go far post, and I think he causes him a real problem. Rangers just need to be careful here. They need that second goal. Livingston are growing in confidence in this game.
Yes, we will keep you updated what is happening there. We'll stay with this because Livingston maybe have an opportunity, but Nico Raskin gets back and stops things at the edge of the box, but Livingston will eventually try and put it in. It goes to a throw-in. 01419511025. Brian is a Celtic fan on the line. Brian, how are you?
Oh, fine. Fine for a Sunday, thank you.
What's on your mind today?
Well, yesterday one of your pundits said at half-time and at the end of the game that after six games they thought Hearts would win the league, which I found rather amazing. Plus the fact that it must be at least about 40 years since a non-Glasgow team won the league.
For those that didn't hear it, probably doesn't take too much guessing that it was Hugh Keevans that predicted that.
I wasn't going to throw Hugh under the bus, but it was certainly Hugh. And he'll be listening going, yeah, and I stand by my decision, which he's quite right to do. I'm with Brian. Look, I think Derek McInnes will do a wonderful job at Hearts. I think he's got a good squad there. You look at the bench, the players he's got at his disposal now. You need a little bit of luck, of course you can. Bad thing about them, when they went out of the cup so early, they've no European games to worry about. And I think Ross makes a great shout about if you've got your number one striker scoring goals again, you'll always have a chance. But if you say to Derek, right now, what squad would you rather go and manage? It would take Celtic all day long. I think in the long run, yes, Celtic yesterday, everybody starts looking at the panic button. They dominated that game at Celtic Park. They'd absolutely dominated Hibs. Hibs went there with a game plan for a point, and they got it, and all credit to David Gray and Hibs. Can't argue with that. That was their game plan. Celtic, the only thing that was missing was putting the ball in the back of the net. And sometimes you get that. Celtic can go through a season drawing 0-0 with a Hibs or whatever it may be, but they'll still go and win the league. So right now, I really hope Hearts make it difficult for the top two, but I do think that Celtic are still strong favourites.
Brian, do you see Hearts as a potential threat at all? And Livingston have equalised against Rangers. It's Livingston 1, Rangers 1, and it is Mo Salah with the goal, who's playing at centre-back today, isn't he? Instead of in the centre of midfield, and he's popped up with a goal. Livingston level with Rangers.
We said it, didn't we, Ross? We said we could see it. We're watching the pictures coming in, and you're thinking, Livingston are growing in confidence, and it's just from a throw-in. It's very cheap. Rangers have got one out against two. The ball gets in there. If you're Rangers defenders, you're thinking, you need to go and defend that, but all credit. He's standing there, unmarked, free header, gives Jack Butland absolute no chance. Game on.
See that, though? Yes, it's 2v1 at a throw, but Gassama doesn't even really make an attempt to stop the cross. And that's even more baffling for me, because you remember just before half-time, Livingston had a corner, and what did they do? Take it short, didn't even put a cross in the box. When you get that threat in the box, just put it in there and let them attack it.
Rangers are quite susceptible. Set pieces as well have shown that this season. It's where you can get it. Well, one of the areas that you can get at Rangers.
I'm going to come out with something here, and I don't know if Rangers fans will agree with me. I think John Souter's a better Scotland player than his Rangers player. His defending there is absolutely shocking. And they're in again. He's shocking. His positional play is absolutely terrible. He's a centre-half. He should know where he is. He should be actually looking at him going, right, when that ball comes in here, I'm going to dominate you. The ball went right over his head. It was no man's land. And it was the easiest finish you'll see. And all of a sudden, Livingston are right at Rangers. Martin under pressure again.
Well, Rangers fans, let us know what you think of that. 01419511025. Sorry, Brian, we interrupted you there. I'm sure you wouldn't have minded too much, just given the fact that it was a Livingston goal against Rangers. Just your point there about Hearts. Do you not see them as a potential threat then this season?
They may be, but it's only six games. If it was 26-30, then you could make a judgment, I feel. And they may well challenge us. I'd be surprised. But it's possible. The way Celtic are humming and hawing at the moment, you just never know. But I think after six games, it's too early to say anybody will win or not win the league, especially a non-Glasgow team, put it that way.
Who do you think will win the league, Brian?
Oh, Celtic, always.
There you go, you've said it after six games.
Yeah, I'm a Celtic fan.
But you say nobody should say it after six games.
Nobody should. If you're a Celtic fan, you always support your own team.
When it comes to Hearts, you know, Brian is saying that it is only six games. The fact that we've talked about Aberdeen last season, what they did last season, it's just it's quite an easy one to point to, isn't it? And it's just how quickly it unravelled for Aberdeen. Not to say that that will happen to Hearts at all, but six games is such a small sample size, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think the fact that Mr. Tony Bloom's been so bullish about, you know, wanting to, you know, sort of split and then take over the Old Firm kind of thing. I think what will happen here is if Hearts can stay there or thereabouts come Christmas, New Year time, I think there'll be a little war chest there to spend for
Derek McInnes. Do you not think the biggest question is right now, and we're watching it coming in, I know it's early, it's not can Hearts win the league, can Hearts split Celtic and Rangers?
I think it's a fact they can.
Right, and you're watching that coming in, and there's no evidence. I still think maybe Rangers could go and sneak this afternoon, but there's no evidence to tell me that Rangers team can go on a run of 7-8 games without losing any points at all. It's a very average Rangers team. Average. So if you're asking me that question, is that a possibility? I said at the beginning of the season, absolute no chance. But let me tell you now, I'll go early after six games. I think there could be a chance unless Rangers change the man in the dugout.
Brian, how did you feel Celtic's game went yesterday?
Well, I saw the highlights last night, and as people say it, we did damn well, but we just couldn't put the ball in the net. One of those games. But if you look at the league, every season there's 7-8 league games a year where you draw. They're so frustrating, but it's part of the league, isn't it? You can't win 38 games. No one will. You're going to have ups and downs.
Yeah, there are two ways of looking at that Celtic performance yesterday, because you can look at it that way and say Celtic were dominant, should have won the game. On any other day they would have scored, you know, a few goals. But you can also look at it the fact that it's not the first time that, you know, Celtic have had a few 0-0 draws this season. They've not scored anywhere near as many goals at this point this season as they did at this point last season. They maybe just don't have that cutting edge that they've maybe had previously.
Yeah, opening up teams in the Scottish Premiership hasn't been as easy for them this season. It has been in the past. I think it was first home game of the season was at St Mirren at home. It took them until the 88th minute. Luke McCowan, I think, scored. But listen, they had enough chances to go and win the game. You had Ian Atchell's goal as well, which was just slightly offside. It was the right decision. But I don't think Brendan will be looking too much into that. It literally is just sharpening up that end product.
I think the problem, Andrew, was I think any Celtic fan going along would say, right, the performance was good, we dominated, the stats show Celtic dominated the game. The only problem was they couldn't find the back of net. I think because of what's happened in the transfer window, when Brendan Rodgers has to make those substitutions, you look at what's come on the pitch, and I'm not being disrespectful here because nobody is a bigger admirer of James Forrest than myself. He's been absolutely brilliant, a legend at Celtic. But he's at that age now. Celtic shouldn't be relying on James Forrest to come on and pull them out of a hole. They bring on young Kenny, another one for the future, probably have been out on loan if Celtic haven't done their transfer business well. Balakwisha hasn't really set the heather on fire. So all of a sudden you go for the front three they had to that front three, and I think that's where the Celtic fans are saying, look, we're not as strong is what we should be.
Well, thank you to Brian, 01419511025. Maybe you want to add to that discussion. Could Hearts potentially win the league this season? That was the point that Brian there was contesting. It's still 1-1 between Livingston and Rangers after that Mo Salah goal. Rangers have rung the changes as well. Chermiti, Aarons and Rothwell all coming on.
Yeah, Chermiti for me, I know it's difficult for him. He's come up with a big price tag, but every time I've seen him, whether it's off the bench or the start of the night there, he's offered nothing. So he needs to start showing what he's all about here. He needs a goal for me this afternoon. Could be important for him. Aarons, I've never been a fan of him. Rothwell, I think the Rangers fans have sort of questioned his signing as well. I don't think he's played in his right position, but he's made the changes. He's got to go and try and do something, because he will be coming in for some criticism just now in that stadium. And if they don't go and get a winner, it'll get worse.
Yeah, here's a cross into the box from Aarons. Chermiti attempted to take it down in the box, just kind of bundled off his legs, and Livingston managed to get that one away. It was Cornelius Asgard and Antman who all came off. There was one change for Livingston as well. Jeremy Bakila came on, didn't he, for Stevie May?
Yeah. Stevie May's ran his course. I've got to say, the one thing you get with Stevie May, he'll go and do a real shift for you. He'll do all the ugly work up front. He'll chase and he'll harry. He'll try and put people under pressure. And I'm not surprised that he's come off.
0141 951 1025. 15 minutes to go in that game. Livingston 1, Rangers 1. Rangers fans, maybe you want to save your opinions for full time, but you can let us know on that number, 0141 951 1025. Laurie is a Celtic fan up next. Laurie, what is on your mind this evening?
Well, first and foremost, Andrew, thank you for permitting me to be in the programme. Good afternoon, Ross. Good afternoon, Gordon.
Hi, Laurie. How are you doing, keeping Laurie? All right?
I'm doing fine. I was at the game yesterday. I wasn't too despondent. I certainly was disappointed that we dropped 2 points. But, as the previous caller alluded to, and Gordon has already touched on, it's not as if we never created chances. We created a barrel of the chances. It was a bad day at the office, proverbially. You know, Hibernian, to their credit, they're not there to entertain Celtic fans. They're there to go back along the M8 and get a result. And they left with a point. Grant Hanley, I thought, marshalled the Hibs defence superbly. And the big German goalkeeper, Salinger, was outstanding. I think that Iheanacho, in terms of his match fitness, is probably maybe a few games away from being entirely match fit. He strikes me as a guy who looks at just now as if it's kind of pre-season levels of match fitness. My biggest disappointment, however, was Dyson Maeda. I thought he was largely anonymous throughout the game. Perhaps in fairness to him, he never got a great deal of service, but I thought he was lost playing in the right wing. I think he's much more effective going down the left flank. Overall, we've dropped a couple of points. And incidentally, conversely, I do welcome, actually, Hart's good start to the season. Makes things much more interesting, because what is the point, really, in terms of competitiveness for it being a one-horse race every season? The panel starts.
Yeah, I agree. I'm delighted. I'd like to see more teams. Like, Hibs have obviously got a good squad. You're looking at Hart. Listen, let's give St Mirren all the credit. They're up there as well. Every season they're starting to do that now consistently, so they've got to take a pat in the back. Competition's brilliant for our game. I agree, I think that Maeda, as Laurie touched on there, he's just lost his way a bit. I thought that the transfer windows upset him as well. He was looking to get away. It didn't happen. I don't think it's one of these cases that he's went in the huff or anything. I don't think he's that kind of guy.
Brendan Rodgers even said it on Friday, didn't he, that it can sometimes be a subconscious thing rather than, you know, he's going out there and he's, you know, purposely not putting in his full effort because he's unhappy at not getting a transfer. He said that it can just be something subconscious.
I've got to admit, I was surprised that the club came out and said that about him wanting to leave. I didn't think there was any need to say it. It just puts unnecessary pressure on the player. So now, every time
it was him that said it on international duty. He went away on international duty at the end of the transfer window, didn't he? And he said that he almost left and was essentially disappointed that he didn't get his move. And then Brendan Rodgers was asked about it, expanded on it, and said that it's basically been since February. He's been away on that.
Well, I don't understand why the players said it then. It just puts unnecessary pressure on you, because the fans now know that at some point you wanted to leave the football club, didn't get your wish. And now all of a sudden, like I said, if you're off it a little bit, then the fans are always going to have that held against you.
I think there's certain players that fans would look at and think, oh, he's trying to work his ticket here. I don't think Maeda comes into that category for me. I think he's a real honest, hard-working player. It's just now that it's not working for him. He's not going to go in the left. So they had to put him on the right-hand side yesterday. And I was wondering why they would never play there, because I thought right-footed player with his pace, he likes to get in behind, he doesn't come inside a lot, it might have suited him. But I think Laurie's right, he didn't get a lot of service. It's just one of these things that he's such a great season last year. He's just dipped, and then all of a sudden that loss of confidence. But he's a good player, he will come back.
Well, thank you to Laurie. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you want to add to those thoughts about Celtic against Hibs yesterday. Maybe you're a Hearts fan that is excited about being top of the table. Want to hear from Motherwell and Aberdeen fans after that late kickoff last night. But the big story at the moment is with 10 minutes to go, it's Livingston 1, Rangers 1. And we want to hear your thoughts on that. 0141 951 1025. While you get your calls in, I'll tell you about this. Yeah, how do you fancy kickstarting October with a huge bank boost? If you play Make Me a Minner winner, you're in with a chance of getting your hands on a massive £560,000. To get 100 entries into the draw, text BANK to 61025. Texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 7 entries, text YES to 61025. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. Or you can enter by phone. You can call 03434 269 340. All calls are charged at the standard rate as well. It's over 18s only. Online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday and someone will win the lot. If you get the call after 5 o'clock, £560,000 will be yours and it's paid straight into your bank account after the call. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
5 minutes to go of the 90 between Livingston and Rangers, and it's still Livingston 1, Rangers 1. James Tavernier giving Rangers a 1-0 lead in the first half, but a Mo Salah header means it's all square with just 5 minutes to go, and it's a pretty open game, isn't it, going into these final few moments?
Yeah, if I'm looking at this game and I'm thinking, if there's a possible winner, I'd probably tip Livingston, to be honest with you. Rangers have obviously rang the changes. Barami's come on, Moore's come on.
Yeah, Magoma and Barron going
off. They've gone two up. He's went very attacking. He knows surely his future must be on the line here as Livingston got a chance to break them. He must know his future's on the line here. He cannot afford a 1-1 here. He can't survive that, surely.
But how often have we said that? How
I don't care. It's
week after week that's been said.
But it's just got to happen.
But it kind of doesn't seem like it, though, does it? Just the way that it's been handled so far, it seems as if Andrew Kavanagh and the board are wanting to give Russell Martin time. Well, and if it wasn't going to happen after Bruges, if it didn't happen after the 2-0 defeat at home to Hearts, is it going to happen today?
It possibly could happen this week for me. Listen, I know they've got a European game, they've got a couple of fixtures coming up, and you're thinking, well, maybe wait till the international break, Andrew, but they might get out of jail. But look, I know he's got the backing of the board and everybody and the peers inside the building. The fans, to a man, have gone against him here. There's no way back for him if he draws here. There's no way back. You cannot be starting your league campaign like this. And I will be very surprised. International break, he will be gone.
I think he'll probably take 1-1 here. By the way, it's going to take 1-1 and leave. But I agree with you, Dazzler. I can't for the life of me work out why they haven't made the decision. They've got to do it.
Do you know the biggest problem? I was listening to him today in his interview, and it's not a witch hunt against a manager. I've been a manager, there's nothing worse than people really having a dig at you. But I was listening to his interview, and the only positive thing that I get from him is they're a great training team. They're always brilliant in training, right? He always talks about how everybody's buying in and how they're looking great in a training. Thursday and Friday, they're brilliant, everything about that. And he talks about philosophies of the game. Forget that. Go and win games. Then start telling everybody how good you are in training and philosophies and shapes and patterns. Go and win games first. But he's not doing that. And if he doesn't win this today, look, we heard the Rangers fans, we can't hear it now, but we heard the Rangers fans in the first half. It's a very uncomfortable situation for a Rangers manager. It's not nice. He's a human being. It's not nice at all. But it's facts. The Rangers fans are having no more.
Celtic dropped points yesterday, but Celtic fans can point to a lot of positives in that performance. The fact that they should have won the game, passed up quite a few chances. It's not the same situation, Rangers dropping points today, is it? Is there any evidence to suggest that Russell Martin's style is starting to come across to the players based on this 88 minutes so far?
Well, that's it. We've been waiting on it now for 6-7 games. Even the European games, you take out the Victoria Pilsen game, they were probably lucky to get through against Panathinaikos. Pilsen, they were very good at home. Other than that, I haven't seen much at all. I thought they were decent, I must admit, at home to Hibs without being spectacular. I thought they were decent. But like you said, that a club like Rangers, team like Rangers, with the players that they've got on that pitch, they should be going to Livingston.
He'll probably come out after the game if he gets 1-1 and say, look, we're climbing the table. They've leapfrogged Falkirk with goal difference. They're now sitting in 10th. It's not good enough. The Rangers fans ain't going to accept this. I don't care about his you know, the confidence the board are giving him. They'll soon crumble. Let me tell you, when there's empty seats at Ibrox, they will soon crumble.
Even if Rangers did end up getting a winner in injury time as they go forward now, it's still not the type of performance that's going to appease supporters in any way, shape or form, is it?
No, there's... You know, I think you asked the question there, Andrew, Celtic dropping points yesterday, but the Celtic fans have seen what that team can do, what they're capable of and what have you. There's just no... They haven't seen any signs of it, the Rangers fans. And see, Russell's probably in a... You know, the situation it finds himself in just now, it was an uphill battle as soon as he came in, because a lot of the fans probably didn't want him as manager. So you think he's got to hit the ground running. He hasn't done that. It's got even worse.
A big chance here, Roscoe, and I've got to say, if Rangers had to score from this, I will guarantee you David Martin will have Montgomery by the throat when he goes in that dressing room. He's given away the most needless free kick in a dangerous position I've ever seen in their, well, they're 8 minutes away.
Yeah, eight minutes of injury time, so there will be certainly time for teams to try, Rangers or Livingston, to try and get that winner, that ball into the box, though, goes over. Everyone was maybe flicked on by a Livingston head. Was it out for a good throw-in on the far side?
Good defending. That's the one thing you've got about Livingston. They know they've got something to hang on to. Listen, they'd be delighted with a point. Let's not be kiddied here. So they're throwing everything at it. But Rangers need someone just to dig them out a hole here. They really do. You can't be giving teams like Celtic and Hearts the start that the Rangers are giving them. Absolutely no chance. Their league campaigns are gone already.
Well, Livingston now making their way forward, and that is it. If Rangers start to throw players forward, then they will be even more open at the back than they have been. Scott is a Rangers fan in Irvine. Scott, what have you made of today's performance?
Same old, isn't it? It's just the same old story. I'm watching this, and we were a lot better in the first half, and then the second half, within 5 minutes, I could tell we just weren't up for it at all. The players obviously aren't playing for Russell Martin. But what's more worrying to me is the fact we've got a young boy there, Finlay Curtis, who we've brung through ourselves, and he can't even get on. We've got, like, say, Mikey Moore and that coming on again, who's done absolutely nothing. Finlay Curtis at least can get you a goal. He's done, and it's just bewildering. We've also got a centre-back in Fernandez who costs us $3 million, our own player, can't get in a squad. And also, what's happened to Kieran Dill, who's totally disappeared? I don't know if he's left out the back door without him doing own, but he's not even anywhere to be seen anymore. Nothing makes sense here. It's an absolute joke.
Yeah, all these things will just get thrown at Russell Martin if results continue to go this way. The Kieran Dill one is interesting, because Kieran Dill was almost the first name on the team sheet, wasn't he? And then pretty much after that international break, after the transfer window shut, he's barely making it onto the bench.
I agree.
Big chance for Rangers. A great Miofsky's save by Prior. It was a Miofsky header tipped over the top by Prior. Rangers with a big opportunity, big opening there to potentially get the winner, but it's a good stop.
Yeah, it's a stop that I think that any goalkeeper would have saved. I think
maybe
that
wasn't going in anyway. Was that maybe going to hit the bar?
Commit to the header a bit more there.
I agree with you, Roscoe. When I seen it first, I thought, oh, well, that's a great opportunity, but he was never confident. He's got to find the back of the net there for me. But Russell Martin seems to be twisting all the time he's playing. You look at Diamandi, for instance, he's on the bench today, he gets sent off the other night there. You just wonder if Russell Martin took the huff with him and decided, no, you're not going to play. Okay, argument is he puts Barn in. I agree, young Curtis has come on and he gives him a bit of that energy. You can't, Rangers, if Rangers are at a stage, and I'm not being disrespectful here, that they're putting all their eggs in the one basket with young Finlay Curtis, then they've got massive problems. He's a good player, the boy. He's always done well for Rangers. I agree the fact that Moore's come up with this big reputation, done absolutely nothing. I think Rangers as a squad are weak. I think they're weak mentally as well. I don't know if they can handle the heaviness of the shirt, especially when the pressure goes on. So I just...
Oh, Rangers have got a late goal and are probably going to win this game. 94 minutes on the clock, and it's Max Aarons who fires low into the bottom corner. Russell Martin celebrates. A real, what's that, relief, would you say, that he's getting out there?
Last time I seen that was last night at the Ryder Cup. He must have been watching that, but he has a real go at the dugout there, didn't he? The man that I've criticised from day one since he came in, he's probably saved his job for another week or two. Poor defending from Livingston, but take nothing away from Aarons. He's ready for it, he's alert, and he buries it in the corner. What a relief for Rangers and Russell Martin.
Scott, how are you feeling after that?
See, to be honest, I don't actually really feel that much different because it's just kicking the can down the road. I mean, fair enough, they'll know something points behind Celtic, but I mean, that's two of our right backs that have scored. But I wouldn't have even had Aarons in the squad. I would have had Fernandes and ahead of him in the squad as well. But I mean, to be honest, I'm not even bothered about this one. That's how bad it's got. It's like, what's the point?
That is worrying for supporters if it gets to a point where your club scores an injury time winner and Scott's not even bothered.
No,
doesn't make a difference to him.
I don't think Scott will be alone, to be honest with you, but look, I've got to say, you can look at it both ways.
The same can't be said for everyone, by the way. There was a fan that ran onto the pitch there to hug Max Aarons when he scored.
They've got out of jail a little bit, right? But I've also got to give him a bit of credit. You know what I mean? The game's not all about just 90 minutes nowadays with VAR. You've got to go right to the final whistle. Rangers put pressure on. He's made substitutions. His substitute has come on and probably got him the winner. So a bit of credit there. But I don't see anything in any of these performances that are convincing me Rangers are going to go on a streak where they're not going to lose games.
Well, thank you to Scott. Rangers fans, we want to know what you make of this performance. The result looks as if Rangers are going to get this over the line. 96 minutes on the clock, 2 of the added time to go, and it is 2-1, that Max Aarons goal. So get your calls in right now, 0141 951 1025, and get your calls in for this as well.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yeah, we will bring you the full-time picture from Livingston. Then someone will get the opportunity to play Beat the Pundit against either Gordon DL or Ross McCormack. All you need to do is phone now, 0141 951 1025.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
It's all over between Livingston and Rangers, and it finished Livingston 1, Rangers 2, and it was a late goal from Max Aarons to win it. Tom Grant is there and can give us a full-time picture.
Yes, Livingston 1, Rangers 2, and Russell Martin finally has his first league win as Rangers manager, but it was nervy late and it will likely do little to appease the unrest amongst fans. It was the home side who looked the more confident early on, returning frontman Stevie May forcing an early save from Jack Butland. Under fire, manager Russell Martin made 3 changes from that midweek defeat to Genk, and on 13 minutes, one of them, Bojan Majovski, found himself in behind the Libby defence with only goalkeeper Jerome Pryor to beat, but he blazed his left foot effort high and wide. Here at the home of the Setfair Arena, Rangers, like Celtic, take up 3 of the 4 stands, and every seat in that section has been taken up. The away support travelling well and making plenty of noise to try and spur their players into life and get their season up and running. But after a quarter of an hour, out came the chance, politely asking Mr. Martin to relinquish his post. It will be baby steps if there's to be any turnaround in fortune between the fans and the manager, but in 23 minutes they perhaps took the first one. Gassama picking up the ball on the left and heading for the byline, his deep cross finding Oliver Antman on the other side of the box, whose first touch found Tavernier, who rifled home. The captain should have had his second just minutes later. Stevie May adjudged to have pulled Nico Raskin's shirt in the penalty box from a corner, and referee John Beaton pointed to the spot after a VAR check, but Tavernier subsequent penalty was superbly saved by Pryor. Rangers would have loved to have gone in at half-time. Two goals to the good. Asgard, Gassama and Raskin all getting away shots from distance, and Derek Cornelius had his goal chopped off right on the stroke of half-time for a handball. But instead, they led by just one after the opening 45. Going into this one, Libby were winless in their previous 21 meetings against Rangers, only scoring four times in those 21 games. And in 62 minutes, Stevie May came close to making it 5-22. Jack Butland producing a top-class save to deny the veteran frontman when he probably should have scored. As the game ticked on, you did begin to wonder if the one goal was going to be enough for Rangers as Libby began to build up a bit of steam. And that momentum was rewarded on 68 minutes. Adam Montgomery's cross from the right, expertly headed home by Mo Salah to make it 1-1. Inevitably, those anti-Russell Martin songs started up again, and the manager responded by putting two up front, Yusuf Chermiti replacing Ant-Man and joining Mayovsky on the front line. That switch in tactics failed to result in a switch of fortunes for the much maligned Rangers team. That was until right at the death. A scramble in the box from a corner found Max Aarons free, and he smashed the ball home. That goal didn't stop the anti-Russell Martin chant, and interestingly, the manager wasn't on the pitch to thank the fans for their efforts, as it's usually the custom after an away win. That was led by Tavernier and Butland. But it's a win nonetheless. Rangers leapfrog today's opponents into eighth. It finishes here at Livingston 1, Rangers 2.
We will get the reaction from Russell Martin and David Martindale. And for the next 2 hours, we want your reaction as well. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, what did you make of the performance? Are you happy that it is a first league win for Russell Martin? Has it changed your mind on Russell Martin at all? Or was the performance still not what you are looking for? 0141 951 1025. We will look back all of yesterday's action as well. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
John is in Paisley. Who would you like to play, John? Ross McCormack or Gordon DL?
Ross McCormack, can I go over a 5 foot walk and go to his show? I'm not joking. I die for him.
It's a wee bit harsh, isn't it?
Can I go over a what?
A 5 foot wall. It was actually 7 foot, mate, and it was a gate, it wasn't a wall.
I just, you were critical of me the last time I was on, so I just
thought
I'd give a wee dig back.
No, how did you get on last time, John?
You know what I mean? I got on there, I can't remember.
Oh, that definitely means you lost.
Yeah. Well, put it this way, have you got a ball?
I've got a ball, I've got a free one, and half of you.
Ah, sure you did.
Right, it will be...
I did, Gordon.
A free one, did I give you a ball, did I?
Aye, Gordon, you did, actually.
That's the kind of guy I am.
He must have beat you.
No, I didn't beat him. I got it for a charity in Australia.
Oh, right, okay.
Right, you might get a coin now to add to
this.
Oh,
yeah, we'll get you a coin soon, mate.
If he wins today, it will be the blue side for Ross McCormack, the red side for Gordon DL. Ross McCormack eyeing this up because he doesn't trust this coin whatsoever. And it is the blue side, so it is Ross McCormack. John gets his wish.
Come on, John.
Right, we'll put some.
It'll probably be me because.
Is there
anything else?
Just not having
you
at all.
Yeah.
You don't stay too far away from me, mate, by the way, Paisley.
You come in my door if you want. I'll welcome you in.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad he said that. I actually thought you guys were about to arrange a scrap there. Right, we'll put some greatest hits. Right, we'll put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Ross McCormack so he cannot hear us. It is 30 seconds on the clock, John, to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. How does that sound?
That's fine.
Let's do it. Who scored Hart's third goal yesterday? Who wears the number 63 for Celtic?
McCown.
Before today's game, what was the score the last time Rangers played Livingston? What did you say there, John? We got you, John? Is John...
I can't hear you.
What was the score the last time Rangers played Livingston before today?
2-1.
Okay.
Right.
We've got you back, Ross. You there?
Yes.
We got you. That didn't go too well. John just kind of went silent for a bit in the middle of it. I don't know whether it just wasn't going well and he decided to pack it in early or he couldn't hear us.
Have we lost John?
Well, I think we've maybe still got him. We'll see afterwards. Right, we'll let Ross play.
These
first.
These are hard,
then.
By the way.
Hard?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't get through many of them, did we?
No.
Right.
Well, the first one's hard.
30 seconds on the clock for Ross McCormack. Let's go. Who scored Hart's third goal yesterday?
Halkett.
Who wears the number 63 for Celtic?
Kieran Tierney.
Before today's game, what was the score the last time Rangers played Livingston?
2-0 Rangers.
Who did Stephen Presley replace as Dundee manager?
Tony Dock.
How many red cards have there been in the Scottish top flight this season?
12.
True or false, Queen's Park are the only Scottish club to play in the FA Cup final?
True.
What insect appears on Alloa's badge?
Wasp, bee.
It's the same, isn't it?
Is it the same? Wasp and a bee, is it?
John, how do you feel
that
went?
I think there'll be animal people out there.
I'm never going to horse the questions because I'm driving back to Livingston, so that's going to horse me,
aren't
you? I didn't get
off the
question.
Yeah, he maybe lost signal or something like that, so it didn't go too well.
I lost signal. So Ross, you've won, by the way, by default.
Do you think you would have got many more right?
Well, when he answered the first one, John, when he answered the first one, corrected one. Let's be honest.
Well, that's fine with me. It's a bit of fun.
Right, let's go through them. Who scored Hearts' third goal yesterday against Falkirk?
Great shout.
It was Craig Halkett, 1-0 to Ross McCormack. Who wears the number 63 for Celtic? John went for Luke McCowan. Ross McCormack went
for
Kieran.
No, he went for Tierney.
John went for Luke McCowan.
Right.
And
who did I say, Tierney?
Tierney. It is Kieran Tierney. So it's 2-0 to Ross McCormack. Before today's game, what was the score the last time Rangers played Livingston? You said 2-0. That's where we kind of lost, John. I don't know if his signal dropped out. You said 2-0. It was 3-0 back in February, so it remains 2-0. That was the end of the road, as I said, for John. You got a few more questions in, Ross. Who did Stephen Presley replace as Dundee manager? You were correct with Tony Docherty.
I get that one.
Okay, we'll give you that then. That's 3-1.
Okay, 3-1. Why not? He's just going to say this for every single one going forward now. How many red cards have there been in the Scottish top flight this season?
Hold on. John, many would you say?
14.
Ross says 12.
Five.
So unlucky.
No bonus point there for John, and no point for Ross. Remains 3-1. True or false, Queen's Park are the only Scottish club to have played an FA Cup final.
What would you say, John?
It's true, isn't it?
I would go with Ross, true.
It is true. Ross McCormack gets it. 4-1. And what insect appears on Alloa's badge?
A bee.
Yeah, it's a wasp. You hit the post there, Ross.
That's the same, isn't it?
No, it's not. Wasps and bees are different.
No, it's different.
Have you ever been stung by a wasp and stung by a bee?
I've not, no.
Oh, well, go
they
and try
are
it.
Definitely different. But it is still a win for Ross McCormack. Hard lines to John. John, you said you're on your way back from Livingston. What did you make of today's game?
I don't even want to go there. Gordon, I'm going to Austria. Right, I go everywhere, as you know, right, and there's not much I can really say. Is it the players or is it the manager? I don't know. I really don't know.
Or is it a bit of both, John?
To be honest with you, Gordon, I've not got a clue. I've played amateur football, and I can bat a better team, organise that team better. I just don't know what he plays. I don't know if he plays a 4-4-3 or whatever. I don't know, got a clue. I'm lost, and I told you.
A 4-4-3 might help, to be fair. It'll be an extra player on the pitch. But for the shared responsibility, that there has to be a shared responsibility, doesn't there, Gordon, of the players and manager? Although Russell Martin, as the manager always does take the worst flat.
But listen, it's a manager that's where everything, you know, that's where the blame goes to. But I think players sometimes got off lightly. Rangers should be playing better than they are. People can go, well, they're not being coached right, but you're a professional footballer, you can get out there and play football. You know how to play the position, you know how to play. I think that Rangers, looking at them squad-wise, I'm not impressed with the quality player that they brought in. I'm not. I know it's early, I know that there've been a lot, I think it was 13 or 14 roundabout that was brought in the summer. It's a big overhaul, but I just look at quality of players just now, and some of them, probably if it's one of these ones that, to come and play with Rangers at 49,000-50,000 at Ibrox with the pressure that's on week in, week out, it's a big ask sometimes. Some people can handle it, some people can't. I think the majority of the Rangers players right now, in evidence, what I see, can't handle playing for a club.
The point you made earlier about John Souter, saying that John Souter for Scotland is a lot better than John Souter for Rangers, What does that come down to? Is that the system that he's being played in? Is it the fact that he's being asked to do things that he can't do? Is that...
I look at Suter and look, he started in the left-hand side of the back four, but today he was on the right-hand side, which is, for me, his best position. I think he's a right-handed, right-sided defender. I like John Suter. I think at Scotland he's excellent. I think he's put in some good performances. Sometimes when you see him at Rangers, you're thinking, yeah, okay, he's the real deal. I just think there's mistakes after mistakes. If you look at the amount of goals Rangers have lost, you know, through the centre of defence as well, it's poor, poor defending. Today as well, bread and butter defending, that is for John Suter. You cannot be caught there as a centre-back against Livingston and give them a free header, what, 6-7 yards out. Your goalkeeper's absolutely no chance if he hits any of the corners. I just think, I'm not just picking on John Suter, I think overall there's a lot of players there that they're struggling. They really are struggling. The one thing I'll say about Russell Martin was today, the only positive, and people have been crying out for it, so don't give him stick for it, he went two up top near the end. He decided to go, he's two up top. People have been on this show, why is he not playing two up top? It's Rangers. He went two up top. Listen, he scraped a win today. It might be the win that obviously has got to keep him in a job, but Rangers fans are just not having the style or anything of the football he's playing. And listen to his press call. It'll be interesting to hear tonight. See if he comes out and it's all positivity. I think more Rangers, the Rangers fans will just get worse and worse.
So you go on the defensive side of it, Gordon. I'm going to go to the other side of the pitch. I know you said they went two up front, but that was last resort, right?
Then even at that, Rangers winning goal comes from a set piece, yeah, as well. It's nothing last, to do with the system, is it?
Last resort, hoping for the best. But I look at the players that started today in an attacking sense. Ant-Man, I've seen absolutely nothing since Victoria Poulsen, and that's being kind. Asgard, who everyone keeps telling me, he's this top talent. Seen absolutely nothing. I'd like to see him any time he touched the ball today. They are just not affecting the game. It doesn't even look as if they want to affect the game. It looks like they're... It looks like, you know, when you're shown for the ball off your teammate, you're like, yes, give us it. It looks as if they half don't want the ball. And then one of the callers earlier on hit the nail on the head. I've said it for the last couple of weeks now as well. You get Finlay Curtis. Every single time he comes on, he gives everything. And all it is just a little bit of basic energy and working hard. That's all it is.
Well, thank you to John. Let's speak to James, who has been hanging on the line. James, what did you take away from today's game?
Absolutely rotten. Grade A dross. You're going about the players need to take half the blame. See, for me, Russell Martin has brought in championship dross, and that is what we're getting served up now. The scouting system at Ibrox is an absolute disgrace. The day there was not... Let's face it, we got absolutely lucky the other day. Be scraping that, and I don't care what anybody says. Any Rangers team should be going to Livingston and scraping a 2-1 victory. I have got no words left to describe how I actually feel about that, man. I don't think there's ever been a Rangers manager, head coach, whatever you want to call him, universally hated by every single Rangers fan. He should be sacked tonight.
The only thing I'll counter your argument a wee bit there with John is, I think Stephen Gerrard went there and lost. Postecoglou went with Celtic and lost, right? So, look, I'm totally with John. I don't know what this board is seeing in this manager. I agree with him 100%. I think the signings are shocking. I know it's early in his career. Gyrmiti, 8 million rising to 10. Someone will need to tell me who sanctioned that deal.
Kevin Thirlwell, sure. Right,
yeah, but, well, there you go. Everton to Rangers. Where did he come from? Everton to Rangers. The signings that are coming in this door, the now for me, they're not working. They're not working under manager's instructions. The manager's taking full blame of it. I think John's right. I don't know one Rangers supporter, and it's the most unusual situation I've ever seen in football, that actually likes and wants to keep Russell Martin. It's incredible.
James, you obviously want Russell Martin to go. Do you think it will happen, though, just based on everything that's happened over the last few weeks and the fact that Russell Martin has survived Bruges and survived the defeat to Hearts at home? Is an away win against Livingston, it's not going to change the board's mind, is it?
No, it's not. And I don't think the board have actually got it in them to sack this guy. I don't think they've got the guts. I thought when we were bought over and we brought the new guys come in and obviously took charge, the names that were obviously getting mentioned, the best way to, for me to describe it is, guys, it's like getting set up on a blind date with your best pal's missus. She described it as Margot Robbie and Susan Boyle walks through the door. That's just
a good sing song, but listen, you can always take a positive out of a blind date, mate.
Nah, you're all right, mate.
But Ross, just in terms of that, at what point does that anger and the unrest that is being pointed towards Russell Martin, pointed towards Patrick Stewart, Kevin Thelwell's getting it as well, at what point does that maybe then turn towards Andrew Kavanagh, 49ers Enterprises, if Rangers fans are so determined that Russell Martin has to go and week after week it's not happening? At what point does that anger or do the questions start to shift onto the ownership rather than onto the manager?
Well, I think it already has, hasn't it? You seen the banners at the Hibs game. It wasn't just Russell Martin's head.
But I mean, actually,
banners,
like Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marathi and 49ers Enterprises, rather than just, you know, Patrick Stewart, Kevin Thelwell,
yeah,
that
well,
are
listen,
the board.
They've all got things that questions that need to be answered. Dazzler's right. £8 million Chermiti hasn't scored a goal. The money that they've spent this year, the manager's been backed more than probably any other manager in recent history, and he's serving up the worst performances. So that tells me that the recruitment team need to be looked at, held accountable for the players that are bringing into the football club. But I just fear that it's going to get even more toxic, because me personally, I don't see Rangers going on a run of, say, losing three league games in a row, which will probably be needed for then to step in and remove the manager of his duties. I don't see that happening. So I think they're going to be stuck in this little sort of impasse for a while.
These guys are clever businessmen, right? But you just wonder, do they get the club? Like, Rangers fans were over the moon when the 49ers got over the moon. They were on here in their droves telling everybody how good it was and Rangers going forward and the planning. And I agreed with them. But look, when Rangers fans stop turning up at Ibrox, stop paying money and stop spending their hard-earned cash, every fan's against them just now. I'm baffled that they're not sitting just now thinking of a replacement. Because even today, yes, he gets away with a 2-1. I'll guarantee you, and I hate saying this, but deep down inside, there'll be Rangers fans sitting there today hoping that Rangers didn't get that winner, because they would think it's a better chance of getting him out the door. And when it comes to that, that's a bad state of affairs for you and your football club.
Well, thank you to James. Still plenty of time to get your calls in. We are here until 7 o'clock, so keep ringing that number, 01419511025.
The games are over. The talking begins. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
The weekend's action in the Scottish Premiership is officially over. It ended with that Rangers victory over Livingston, a 95th minute winner by Max Ahrens. However, the performance hasn't pleased the last few Rangers fans we've had on the phones. Do you agree? Give us a call, 01419511025. We will hear from Russell Martin and David Martindale shortly. They are doing their post-match media duties at the moment, so we will hear from them. We'll look back on yesterday's action as well. 01419511025. On the phones, Gav is a Rangers fan in Knightswood. Gav, what did you think of today's game?
Yeah, we were talking about how so I live in Livingston, so I'm from Livingston, and I'm a Rangers fan though. I'm a Rangers fan, right, through and through. I'm a Rangers fan, but disappointing, like, the whole season. Europe, brilliant. Rangers are brilliant in Europe. Do you agree with that? Rangers are brilliant in Europe. How can a team perform in Europe so well and then go domestically, perform so horrendous, I'm not going to swear, horrendously bad?
Well, that's been the issue for a few seasons, Gav, but is it different this season? Because it's not that some of the performers have maybe been a bit better in Europe. You look to that Victoria Pilsen game, getting through against Panathinaikos, but it was terrible against Bruges, lost during the week. So it's not even doing what's happened in previous seasons of not going well domestically, but Europe's been okay.
Okay, so we look at the squad then. So look at the squad we've got. How would their squad work together? And that's what's lacking, I feel. Like, we've got Suter at the back. We've got some good players. There's certain good players that belong in the team, and there's certain people that don't belong in the team. And who do you think belongs in the team and who doesn't?
Well, for me, Raskin belongs in the team. Butland has probably been your best performer this season. Tavernier, or Tavernier, for me, plays every game. Other than that, Gassama's been decent this season. He has started off very well. Maybe tailed off a little bit lately, but he's been good this season. Other than that, I'm not sure. I mean, I know you talk about Rangers' performances in Europe and all that, but they've had one decent performance against Victoria Pilsen. After that, I don't see anything.
I know I've criticised Suter occasionally for his defending and getting dragged all over the place and balls coming in through the box, but I think if you got the right partnership in there with him, I think Suter would be decent enough for you, because I think Suter is a good player, but I think just times domestically.
Is that defensive partnership the problem, or is it just that the overall system isn't working?
It could be a bit of both, Andrew, but today was, for me, bread and butter defending. It came from a throw-in, then the ball comes in, it's across from the right-hand side. You're a centre-half. You've got to, especially where it lands, and you've got to go and win that first and foremost, but you can't be letting the opposition be standing a yard off you with a free header 6-7 yards out, giving your goalkeeper absolutely no chance. I think the squad is not good enough, right? I've watched it now, and I'm one of these guys that give it time to bed in. It takes time. I'm all for that. New players coming to different club, different country, different style of football, everything that goes along with it, different thoughts from the manager, how he's wanting to coach, how he's going to play. There's people talking about, well, so-and-so's not been played in the right position. That happens as well. So sometimes it takes time to bed in. But I'm watching this Rangers team, and they have not impressed me one bit. I really don't. Now, I'm not just saying this on Livingston, because I said it earlier. Steven Gerrard went with Rangers to Livingston, didn't win. Postecoglou went to Livingston with Celtic, couldn't win, right? And Postecoglou was terrific, and Rangers fans love Steven Gerrard. So it's not just based on today. Russell Martin got a win today. It's the overall picture for the beginning of the season. I don't see how it's going to improve, if you know what I mean. I'm watching it every week thinking, right, good result against Hibs. Can they kick on Thursday? They've got Livingston away from home. Can they kick on Thursday in Europe? Okay, the manager comes out and he constantly talks about this. Well, 10 men made such a difference. He talks about how great they are in training. Nobody's interested in that. They go today, their second half, Livingston look like the team that's going to win. They get out of jail a wee bit, and I'll give them credit. At the end of the day, you've still got to go and win your games. Aaron's not my favourite player, but pops up with a very important goal. But I just don't see the signs, and I think the Rangers fans are the exact same.
So you talk about John Suter being better for Scotland as well, and you're quite right to mention, is it system or whatever? When he plays with Scotland, he's in a back three. So there's...
Scotland have been playing with the back four recently, though.
There's less chance for him to get exposed.
I know, but
he's
been playing in a four lately because obviously Tierney had been missing. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's trying to cover for his left centre back. You know, whereas maybe in Scotland he trusts maybe a Hanley beside him because Hanley's experienced enough to go knowing how to play the position. But I don't know what it is, but I just watch him sometimes and I'm thinking, you're getting dragged all over the place. The amount of goals Rangers lose through the middle, just with one ball up. You've seen it with Shankland at Hearts as well. The amount of goals they were losing at the beginning of the season was incredible. They were getting chance against chance against chance against them. I just think if you get somebody in there really, really top quality with Suter, I think Suter's a decent player.
I still think he'll get exposed. I think the difference is in the fullbacks as well. The fullbacks with Scotland, I know Hickey's been out for a while, but you know, you get Hickey on the right, Robertson on the left. There's quality there, whereas you look at Tavernier today, he was playing more inverted than that, so that leaves that space in behind him for potential for Suter to get exposed. I think it's a personnel thing as well as a system thing.
Thank you to Gav. What about David in Cumbernauld? David, has that win today done anything to change your mind on Russell Martin?
No, it's absolutely pointless. The guy has shown no no wherewithal to accept any responsibility for where this team finds itself. He's shown no signs of apology to understand where he has led this team to 11th at one point. The team shows no signs of improvement, no signs of heart. And if he remains in this job, he will get Rangers relegated. I am certain of it. Of that.
Relegated, David.
Come on, David. I know it's bad, but it's surely not that bad.
We were 11th at one time, were we not?
But you're not 11th now. That's nonsense. Rangers aren't going to get relegated. I don't care who stays in the job. They're not going to get relegated.
Yeah. I mean, as bad as Rangers have been, they've still picked up six more points than Aberdeen in the opening six games. But the fact that David's even mentioning it just shows how badly he feels about the way that Russell Martin's managing this team and the way things are going. You look at that, Rangers first win in the league today after six games. That's incredible.
And they had to really dig deep for it and come late on and added time, Andrew. Look, I totally agree. The previous caller said that I do not know. I would love a Ranger supporter to come on here and say, yeah, I back Russell Martin, I see what he's trying to do. I've never heard, it's the most unusual situation in football I've ever seen or heard. Nobody has come on and said, no, stop a minute here. It's early, he's brought in new players. I see signs of improvement. We will come good. Nobody's saying that.
But everyone is nobody saying it because there aren't signs of improvement? Is that, that'll be the reason?
I think everybody agrees with that. There's not a pundit in the land either. And it's nothing worse than us sitting here trying to talk about managers losing their job. It's not nice at all. But there's not even a pundit in the world, I think, would predict that Russell Martin's got to be a success for Rangers.
Can a win today do anything to help Russell Martin? Just belief, confidence in the players, will that do anything? The fact that they got a late goal, the elation of that? Or does a performance just not suggest that things are moving in the right direction?
Listen, I think what it does do, it does show a little bit of character, because I think Gordon said at one point as well that when it went to one each and there was a point in that game where you're thinking if anyone's going to nick a winner, it could be Livingston here. So the fact that Rangers have then dug deep, went again and got a winner shows there is character there. But for the 89 minutes before that, you know, there wasn't much on show. So I think, on one hand, it can be good internally for the squad because you think, okay, well, when the chips are down, we have got a bit of character to go again. But in terms of the overall picture, I don't think it will change too much.
Was there anything in today's performance, David, that stood out to you that was maybe a bit more positive than before, or was it literally just the fact that Rangers managed to nick a goal right at the end?
It's nothing there for me, Emmy. There's nothing for me to look at and suggest that there's something we can hang our coat on. There's nothing there that I can make an excuse for it. Previously, even under some of our worst managers previously, there was always something you could go, if the cards are played right on a day, then we might win. You're going in as a Rangers fan every single game thinking, how bad is this going to be?
When you watched the game today, it didn't look like... We see it a lot of time over the past few years. Celtic and Rangers going to Livingston and they will have the majority of the ball, will dominate the game, but Livingston will just make it really, really tough. Livingston have changed their style of play, but it just looked like a very even game throughout. It looked like, for a lot of the match, it looked like two even teams, didn't it, of even quality.
Yeah, I thought Livingston started the better, Andrew, but to be fair to Rangers and give them a little bit of credit, I thought after 20 minutes they started dominating the game. Majovski's missed an absolute sitter. Tavernier puts them in the lead, then misses apparently at a crucial time. And I think at half-time that gave Livingston the lift. And I thought Livingston come out and they were excellent. I think the press Rangers put them under pressure, got their well-deserved equaliser for me. And it looked like it was going to be a terrific point for David Martindale and Livingston. But you've got to give them a bit of credit. I know the criticism's flying Rangers its way and Russell Martin and the players, but give them a little bit of credit. They went right to the final whistle and eventually got the 2-1 win and a valuable 3 points. It puts them up the league a little bit. But I think Rangers fans are just looking at the performances, looking at week in, week out, and they don't see anything that's going to change in the coming weeks.
Well, thank you to David in Cumbernauld. What about David in Wishaw?
Hello.
Hi, David.
Can you hear me? Oh, yeah. I've been on before. I actually got zero to the Super Scoreboard before. No, sorry. Football boring, sorry. anyway, so it's, I was listening. I just dropped somebody off from the hospital there, my father-in-law. I was on the way back. And I heard the saying about no Rangers fans saying blah, blah. I don't think he did a good job. I don't think any of these results are anything different than what we've seen for a long time, to be honest. I think we've been lucky in a sense for a long time. We're basically... Oh, sorry, I nearly hanging. Anyway, sorry. But we're basically scraped by wins for quite a long time, especially in the league. And when we went to a third... Usually our kind of hope, we'd go, oh, we'll do well during the week. We'll give you some sort of hope. But how long now have we seen since Steven Gerrard basically... In and out. We have a new manager at the start of the season. He brings in his players. He devises his tactics, whatever. But not even before January, with bad performances, he's out the door.
Do you not think the things are worse now, though, David, than previously?
Yeah, no, totally worse. They're totally worse. But what my point is, do you think bringing in someone else this stage in the game, why did we not sack him before the window shut? That is my point. Why did we keep doing it when the window shut? These are the why do we not just let's just play this season out now?
I mean, it seems as if the owners want to give Russell Martin a chance. Rangers fans, many of them, most of them, don't think that should happen. But owners Andrew Kavanagh seem to be sticking to his guns. David mentions it. Rangers have gone through this cycle of sacking managers, hiring managers. It's not worked. You can see, in essence, why the owners would want to give a manager a prolonged period of time to try and implement their style, to try and do something a bit different from what they've been doing previously. But I don't think anyone could have imagined that it would have gone this badly to start off with. Is that the issue? If Rangers had won a couple more games in the league, then maybe people would see it as a longer term project. But the fact that it's taken six league games to get the first win, is that why it's just impossible really for a lot of people to see why the board would want to take this path of looking at the long term rather than the short term?
Yeah, I can understand the board coming in and saying, right, we picked a manager, we've put our money in, we're going to take the club forward. Might be a few rocky weeks or a rocky month. But you don't see any evidence, and this is a problem. Maybe the owners are sitting there thinking, right, okay, we've got a result today. We're in a semi-final, the first trophy to be won this season against Celtic. We might ride our luck there and get something. But the biggest problem for the board and the Rangers manager now is one thing, and I'm not for caving into supporters. Right, supporters are so important to clubs because they are the people. They're the bread and butter. They pay their money. They keep you going, right? But sometimes as a board, you've got to be strong and say, no, we know what's happening inside the building here. We've seen what's happening in the progress. We're going forward. We're going to ride this storm. That's okay if you're seeing something that you believe in. But I don't think there's anybody inside Ibrox just now looking at Russell Martin thinking, you're the man that's got to take us forward.
But so there must we'll be surely, or he wouldn't be in a job. Surely there must be signs behind the scenes that Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marathi, surely they
I would
have
love to
be,
ask, so I'd love but, a one-to-one.
Yeah, maybe they watch some training, because they're good on a Thursday and Friday. Maybe that training.
I'd love to sit down, look them in the eye and say, right, explain to me, because all the hundreds of thousands of Rangers supporters all over the world, all the pundits, everybody that's watching this, can't see what you guys are seeing. So could you explain that to us, please?
Is that a thing then, communication? Does there maybe need to be that communication, which it doesn't, it rarely happens. Basically never happens that an owner will come out and sort of publicly back the manager and explain things. But if it's getting to the point where it is so toxic, does there need to be that communication? Kevin Thelwell tried it, didn't he, a few weeks ago? He did a Rangers TV interview and he said that, you know, they gave Russell Martin his backing. Does there need to be communication from someone like an Andrew Kavanagh to say exactly why or what they are seeing that counts as progress and why Russell Martin's still
on the job? Would love, personally myself, I'll let Russell go here, but what I'd like to say is they will soon know, because I do believe, and I hate to say this, I do believe that supporters will start not turning up until something is done with Russell Martin, right? I firmly believe that. These guys are businessmen and they're clever, clever individuals, because obviously they've come in, they've got a vision for the club going forward, they know the size of the club, everything about it. So when they sit and see that, all of a sudden things change, Andrew. It's okay they now, they're digging their heels in, they're being strong, Russell Martin's loving the fact that he's getting the support, but eventually these supporters and everyone's turned against them. The minute they look at empty seats at Ibrox, and that's going to happen very, very shortly if this continues. I would need a miracle for this to turn, because I'm not seeing anyone in the park that's got to convince me that this is going to be okay in 2 or 3 weeks' time.
Do you know what surprises me, right? You take the owners, obviously, they're down at Leeds as well, and a report got sort of leaked in the summer about them wanting to sack Daniel Farker, who had just got them promoted to the Premier League from the Championship. And the fans went against that. It was quite, don't get me wrong, it wasn't as bad going against the board as it is just now at Rangers, but clearly the owners at Leeds have took that into consideration and thought, right, okay, well, we'll listen to the fans here. They've kept Daniel Farker. That's why I was actually surprised that before the last international break, I thought they would have made a change, because they've listened to the fans down south. I thought, well, if they're doing that down there, they're going to listen to the fans up here, and it's, you know, it's a lot louder. So I was surprised they didn't make a decision then.
Well, thank you to David. Russell Martin has spoken. He's done his post-match interview, and we will hear from him next.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.